Welcome to the Gals Guide podcast. Join us on an adventure to get to know famous and infamous women from around the world. Each of our presenters has a pick. Is she ancient history? Is she breaking news? Is she safe for work? Well, that's up to each presenter. All we know is that...
Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Welcome back. I am Riru, and I am joined by Katie and Bonnie and Lori sharing our Irish gal pick. So Bonnie already talked about Lillian Bland, and Katie talked about Bernadette Devlin, and Lori talked about Sinead O'Connor. But before we dive back in, I want to know something random about our gal pals. I want to know if you have a favorite Irish celebrity. And it could be like a comedian, an actor, an actress. It could be even a musician as well, or YouTuber. I know that my kids have a lot of famous Irish YouTubers that they absolutely love. So any and all of it. These two are Googling. Lori, do you have one?
Yeah. I picked Bono.
Oh, there you go. Yes.
And Paul Hewson, I believe is his real name.
Right, exactly. I know, such a boring, you know what I mean, birth name sort of thing. Bono, that'll work.
Well, it actually, the story behind that is that it's short for Bono Vox, which is good voice. And he saw a hearing aid store in Dublin with that name.
Oh,
and
nice. So, he's like, that'll do.
He picked that.
Fantastic. I had a lot. I remember when he did the Red Cause. I purchased a lot of products in the Red Cause to support and all that kind of good stuff. Mm-hmm. Yep. Bono. I like it. All right. How are you two doing? How's the Googling?
I'm trying to think if. Now I'm blanking on her name. If Janeway counts. She
spent time
Irish,
in Ireland.
Irish American Catholic. Right.
But she has a house there, though, doesn't she?
I believe she does.
I know she was writing some stuff there and talks about it.
On these lists here, Nicole Kidman is coming up, and I'm like,
she's Australian.
She's Australian. Yeah, that's what I kept seeing, too.
Right. Maybe her ancestry has Irish. Sometimes that will show up on the searches. I remember I was doing a brief search, and Sam Neill kept showing up, and I always think of Sam Neill as New Zealand. I mean, he does a very good American accent, like Jurassic Park, but I always think of him as New Zealand, but he was born in Ireland, just didn't spend that much time there. So it's like, okay, all right, Irish, kind of, okay.
Well, I think I'm going to go with Cillian Murphy.
Yes.
I have such a crush on him right now.
The Oppenheimer-ness?
I have not seen Oppenheimer, even though I want to.
It'll make you
sad. It'll do it. Okay. Mine is kind of a Peaky Blinders, which is a little sick
because
he was really violent and terrible in there, but it really
He was also kind of delicious in there. Yeah. So, like, no, I get
it. I like myself a bad boy, but I keep it on the screen. I keep it on the screen, not in my house.
There you go. You've learned. I think that's called maturity.
That's right. That's right. All the credit to me. But he's... hot in an unusual way, I feel like. So, and I always want Josh to get that haircut from Peaky Blinders, but he won't.
Right. Yeah.
So,
well, you know, happens. But Bonnie, who are you thinking?
I don't know. Right now, I'm just very angry at Google because if you put in Irish celebrities, and then if you furrow down to female, all the results are hot Irish women.
Yeah, that is.
This reminds me of when we were in the early days of trying to find books for the library for the wish list, and I was going kind of by like region or country.
Yes.
And I put in Asian women.
Yeah, sorry.
And the results for that were like, how to pick up Asian women. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what is wrong with people?
With the internet. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, this is very true. Gals Guide has an article about Wonder Woman that mentions the word armpits. Apparently that is a thing that people search. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, okay, internet, you just showed your creepiness, and I don't like it! Okay, you love Taskmaster, right?
I do.
Have you got to Ashlyn's episodes yet? Ashlyn Bay? She was season 5 of Taskmaster. She had the very thick Irish accent. She's amazing and a comedian.
What's her name?
Ashlyn. Let me see. I wrote it down. A-I-S-L-I-N-G. She's adorable. Long brown hair.
Like, I know the name. I remember looking it up while we were watching it.
Yep. Also, Dara O'Brien was also on Taskmaster, too. He's got a very round head and a thick neck to him. So, yes, I did look over. What Taskmasters were Irish?
Yeah.
If you guys haven't watched Taskmaster yet, I'm just saying. It's on YouTube. They have, the original show is British, but there's an Australian version now, there's a New Zealand version now, and it's amazing.
Apparently there was an American version, because I remember seeing one way back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just started Taskmaster New Zealand, and
I'm,
like, we are so, like, confused by Angela. We're like, like, we can't tell if it's, like, a character or not. Or it's just her. And it's, like, it's so, like, we're like, it's great, but, like, so awkward. Like, we're like, what is with this lady?
Yeah. It's a series of shows where they have to do these, it's celebrities and comedians, and they have to do random tasks, and they have to, like, figure it out. Sometimes it's out-of-the-box thinking, sometimes it's just being fast.
It's like,
but it's hilarious. Highly recommend.
Eat this watermelon, and, like, you have 60 seconds, and it's just a whole watermelon, so they're, like, smashing it on the table to open it.
Yep, exactly. Yeah,
it's interesting. Great.
I know. I mean, I feel like that has filled your time, but any favorite Irish?
Let's go with Aisling then.
There you go, Aisling.
Da-da-da!
Yay, exactly. I don't think you'll regret it. She's amazing.
No.
And continues to
be. I remember liking her.
My favorite currently is Andrew Scott. He's Moriarty on the Sherlock movies with, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, the show?
Yes, the show. Yes.
Scene in the pool.
Yes!
That is, like, great.
He's so good. He was also, one of the film club's picks was the movie Pride, and Andrew Scott is in that as well. He was also in Fleabag. I didn't watch all of Fleabag, but I did watch the episodes he was in, though.
Yes.
Fleabag is great. So I wish there was more. I made the mistake of trying to, like, show my coworkers what it was. I was like, here, let me just play the first couple minutes. I'm like, nope.
No.
That was awkward for everybody. I'm like, no, but it's great.
Yes, it is. And it's got good people in it. The other one that I really love is Brenda Flicker. And Brenda Flicker was in so many, she was like the Irish grandma in a lot of TV, or in a lot of TV shows and movies in the 80s. But she's most famous for me anyway in So I Married an Axe Murderer. Did you guys ever see that one with Mike Myers?
Yeah. Yeah.
She played the mom, the Garth Brooks juice diet. She's just this lovely curly haired, just, you know, she's a little angel and I just love her to pieces. So, Brenda Flicker is one of, I used to always like scream at the TV when she came on and be like, oh, it's her. Like I would get so excited for Brenda Flicker. So no idea why. Deep cuts.
Some people.
Yeah.
This play in.
I know, right? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Don't have to explain.
I also figure the spirit of my aunt would probably come down and haunt me if I didn't mention Pierce Brosnan. He's also Irish.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so.
It's an important one.
But he comes off so much in many of his roles as British.
Right.
But he's Irish. Mm-hmm. And he's done a couple of roles where he's actually, you know, fully used his actual accent. But yeah, my aunt was obsessed with Pierce Brosnan. That was like her crush upon crush.
Blame her.
I watched a lot of Remington Steele with that woman.
Yeah. Like, I know he's James Bond, but always first goes to my head was, this is a drive-by fruiting.
Yes, exactly. That's right. Mrs. Doubtfire, 100%. Exactly. All right. Do you want to hear who I have for you?
Oh, yes.
Speaking of falling in love, I fell in love with this lady. All right, so I'm going pre-Christian times in Ireland with my gal. So she's also part historical, part myth, part legend. So separating really what is true from what is not, I won't be able to do that for you, but it's really quite fun. She's a complex woman, and I'm super excited. She is Queen Maeve, and it's spelled a variety of different ways. So M-A-E-V-E or M-E-D-B is another way that it's spelled, but still pronounced Maeve. Looked it up a couple of times to make sure. I'm like, that's got a D in there? That's messing up my face. Her name is also connected to alcohol, you know, mead, Maeve, kind of some of the same letters. So she's sometimes known as the mead woman as well because she's intoxicating.
Oh.
See what I did there? She also started a war over who had a prettier bull. A male cow who had a prettier one and starts an entire war. I will tell you about that. Also, it takes 30 men to, in a night to satisfy her sexually.
Hey.
She's a lot.
I don't know if that says much about her or about the men.
Thank you. I think that's the point. So, probably our listeners can't see the smile that is on my face of how exciting this woman is and what an inspiration she is so far. But I'll start with the legend. I'll start with the myth and legend because that is my favorite. That is my jam. So Queen Maeve, her adventures are told in the Ulster cycle. You were talking about Ulster. Mm. This is the Wayback Ulster. Oh my gosh. So the Wayback Ulster cycle is a series of stories about medieval Irish in the Ulaid region, which is kind of the northeast part of Ireland. There are physical manuscripts that tell these stories that are dated back to the 12th century, but the language that is in it goes back to the 7th century. But then it might actually go back further than that because we didn't start writing stuff down for a while. And there was the oral traditions and things like that. So anywhere actually at that BC to AD time is probably when we're talking about Queen Maeve was. Some have dated it anywhere between 27 BC to 14 AD is where we're talking. And the reason why is they will compare the people in the story to Roman people who we have definitive dates for. So that's why that possibility of these Ulster cycle stories can go to the way backs in history. So the stories are written in like Old Irish or Gaelic, but they've been translated. They've been updated into Middle Irish. But there's also this whole thing where the Christians came in at one point and they were had these artificial attempts to retell Irish tales so that they would fit back or fit better into biblical stories. So I did use a lot of variations on my research. I was very mindful of when and where I was taking research from. But if I mix some of these different variations, I sincerely apologize because there was a lot of it. So Maeve is a warrior queen. This is the way she is described. A fair-haired wolf queen. And Wikipedia actually says this, and it's so good that I have to quote it and give credit to it. They said that Queen Maeve, the warrior queen, whose form was so beautiful that it robbed men of 2/3 of their valor just upon seeing her.
That's why she needs 30.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Because obviously they are weak in the knees.
I mean, what's 2/3 of 30? That's probably a reasonable number.
Right, exactly, right? You know, for a good evening.
Right.
I'm trying to think how they measured that and how it's 2/3 and not just like, oh.
Right.
Like,
annotation to that.
Specific.
Yeah. Source.
Yeah. I will go back to Wikipedia and look it up. Yeah. Okay. I just went, that's a good line. I'm not paraphrasing that at all. I'm taking that as it stands. So the stories of her marriages and her power are told in two specific stories in the Ulster cycle. One of them is called the Battle of the Boyne, and the other one is called Maeve's Man Share. I mean, they're
Please
not...
Please elaborate.
Exactly. Okay, so Maeve's father was the High King of Ireland, and he married her to the King of Ulster. So that's how we get into the Ulster cycle. She was married to him because the King of Ulster did a favor for her father, which was kill another king. And when you kill somebody in exchange, apparently you get to marry your daughter. So
a pretty big favor.
Sure.
Yeah.
The guy was a piece of shit, though. Yeah. So it was horrible. She did have a son with him and then left. But unfortunately, it wasn't like, you know, okay, I'm just going to go and to each his own and all that stuff. Because then her father decided to give her sister to the same piece of shit. Oh. But Maeve, for some odd reason, really didn't like this and murdered her sister while she was pregnant, and her baby, basically her nephew, was born through cesarean section posthumously.
Hmm.
Yeah, not a good move. Totally bad idea. Why she went after the sister and not the piece of shit, I don't know. But so Maeve's father got really mad at another regional king. This time it was Tinny Mac Kinry, and he was the King of Connacht. And he put Maeve in as ruler. He said, no, I don't like this guy. Take him out. I'm going to put Maeve in and she's going to be ruler. But then Maeve and Tinny started feeling each other. They started sharing a bedroom and they decided to start sharing a throne. So the two of them ruled Connacht together. They went to an assembly at Tara, and Tara is, it's this hill that has, it's not quite Stonehenge because it's got one giant pillar on it, but it's where all the high kings will come to gather. Let's just call it a convention, shall we? It's a con, you know, basically.
Stone con.
It's a stone con. Yes, there we go. Or King Kong, if you will.
Nice.
See what I did there? But of course, her old husband, the piece of shit from Ulster, was also there because he's a king of one of the regions of Ireland.
Just keep bumping into your exes everywhere.
Well, there's going to be lots more of them. So he's at this assembly, and he's, for some odd reason, still mad at Maeve. Don't know why, right? But he actually rapes her while they're at this convention, and then all hell breaks loose, right? So her now husband challenges him to single combat, and then he died. So the piece of shit is still alive, still out there, but runs back off to Ulster. So she has to get married again because, you know, again, 30 men to satisfy her, right? So she gets married for the third time, but she's getting smarter at this because now there are three rules to marry her, all right? So first one is that her new husband has to be without fear. The second one is that her husband has to be without meanness. And her third one would be her husband has to be without jealousy. Which one do you think is the most important? She sleeps around with a lot of dudes. The jealousy was the most important one. So while she's marrying the third guy, she starts really falling in love with her bodyguard. I don't know if he looks like Kevin Costner or what, but she starts having a little bit of a bodyguard kind of motion. His name is Ailie MacMata. And what does the other husband have to do but challenge him to single combat? Mm-hmm. And then the older husband dies, and hello! So Alil is now her new husband, husband number four, right? Now this is, so those are the two stories of the Battle of the Boyne and Maeve the Manshare. Manshare is four husbands. Yeah.
This is making me feel like my second husband didn't work hard enough for me.
Thank you.
Right? Just well, have to address this when I get home.
Hopefully the next story won't be any other truths whatsoever. Because while she's married to the new guy, this is in the Ulster Cycle. It's a new story that's called the Cattle Raid of Cooley. Historians will call this the battle between the greedy and ambitious Queen Maeve. Notice the woman is greedy and ambitious. And the superhero Cool Hullin. This is how it goes down in history. Right. Perhaps I might have a little bit of a different spin on it. But here's how the myth goes. So Maeve and Alil are in their marriage bed, and they're talking about their wealth and what they own and what makes them so rich and so powerful.
Like you do.
Well, I was going to say, totally normal, right? You just talk about, well, I have this and I have this, and you're totally competing over it. So, but then she realizes that her new husband is wealthier than her because he has a powerful, a white, stud bull. And that's what makes him richer than her. So this cannot stand whatsoever. So she knows that there is a better bull called the Don Quail, which is a brown bull, in Ulster, which again is where the piece of shit husband is from.
Right.
So I don't know why these two didn't hear of like Beanie Babies or like Pokemon cards. I really feel like it would have been much better. Was it maybe it wasn't there at the time? But yeah, so the beautiful better bull that can outwealth her husband is in the lands of her past piece of shit husband in Ulster. So Maeve is like really smart though. So she finds the bull's owner, who is not her old husband, but a relative of, because, you know, we're all related. But she sends him a messenger and promises wealth, land, and sexual favors so that she can have this bull. And the guy agrees. He's like, yes, totally. This all sounds great. I'm not going to say it's the sexual favors, but you know what I'm saying. Like, something tips him over. But then the messenger, who was drunk at the time, says, oh, thank goodness you're going to give us the bull because we were going to take the bull by force regardless of what you said. So then the guy went, no, war it is. So an army of many kingdoms all gathered together to fight as the Ulstermen, to join together for the King of Ulster. A very uncomfortable number of them were ex-lovers of Maeve. Uncomfortable number in that one. So, I mean, statistics are going to be a thing in this particular battle. So so the King of Ulster, you know, the piece of shit, he was actually fighting a different woman at this time. He was busy. He was fighting a supernatural woman at this time. So the King of Ulster was in a force with the goddess Matcha, and he challenged her to a chariot race. And she was pregnant at the time. And she was very irritated that this little tiny human was challenging her, a goddess, to a chariot race while she was pregnant. So to punish him and all of his soldiers, she made them have stomach cramps to the point where the men felt like they were giving birth and having contractions. Right. This is why I love mythology. So once again, because of all the men having stomach cramps in Ulster, it came down to single combat. Single combat, for some reason, is way too common. I feel like it's poor writing. Why is it always single combat, guys? Come on, you have this whole big army, but one-on-one, just one-on-one. Mm-hmm. Because Cool Hullin, the superhero, was the only one who wasn't basically going through contractions of live birth. So Cool Hullin was also the best warrior in all of Ulster. There's lots of actually fantastic stories about Cú Chulainn. But Maeve's best warriors was Fir Dian. So Fir Dian and Cú Chulainn were actually best of friends. Aww. They studied under the same teacher in Scotland.
This is going to be sad.
They were besties. Also go with maybe a little bit more than that. I don't know. I didn't judge, but, you know, just saying. Some of the stories seem like, oh, I love you so much. No, I love you so much. And anyway, so they knew that it was only a matter of time before they would have to single combat each other, being best of friends, right? Yeah. So Ferdian tried to really lay low as Cool Hullin is like slaying soldier after soldier after soldier. So eventually Maeve questioned Ferdian's honor and said, why won't you fight for me? Are you not brave enough? Are you not courageous enough? And so he has no choice. He has to go fight his friend. So
you gotta keep your rep.
You do.
Yeah.
But they were very evenly matched because same teacher. Right. So they fought for 3 days. And Cú Chulainn was starting to really lose. And so he called upon a magical forces. He called against a magical spear that was made out of the bones of sea monsters. And that killed his friend. So yeah, you needed a magical spear to be able to kill your friend.
That's totally cheating.
Yeah.
It really is. You know what else is cheating? Maeve saw this moment of the grievingness of killing your best friend to just grab some soldiers and go steal the bull herself. While everybody was distracted with the war over and the sadness concluding, she's like, yeah, no, I'm just going to go get this brown bull for myself then.
I mean, it was...
And she did.
They just get stuff done.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So now she has the better bull in her possession. Yay, she won. There was this whole war over it.
With her husband.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't enough just to have the bull. She now needed the bulls to battle each other.
There can be only one.
There can be only one. This is a very Highlander situation. So the white bull and the brown bull, they battle. They're very also evenly matched and all of this.
And best friends.
I mean, not really, because they're in different regions. But you know what? You're like, maybe they grew up again, together. They both hate humans at this point.
Right. We tired of that shit.
So Maeve's bull actually won. The brown bull won over her husband's bull, but it meant nothing to him, is what the myth says. And he dies of a broken heart.
For his bull?
The bull dies of a broken heart. Yeah, because there was
no
reason.
No bulls.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so then they're both even again. But, I mean, the story doesn't mention the fact that they're both even again because both of their bulls died. Oh. Right? Yeah, exactly. Ugh. So Maeve's...
Down with the ruling class.
Yeah, pretty much, yes.
Okay.
So Maeve's stories in the Ulster cycle, and also there's this mythology of Tara, which is that hill, that king of kings. Tara is also, it's a burial mound. It's a standing stone. It might even be the stone of destiny. Mm. So it has this magicalness. So a lot of Maeve stories will come up with the land in Tara. But the Battle of the Bull It might actually be, because remember, it's mythology. So it could have happened. It could be a grandiose story, or it could be a metaphor for actually something else. So I actually think it could be showcasing the maternal line of her power. Because of women in power, it was very important to keep that power. So that battle with her husband of who had the power in this, and that bull kind of symbolizing whoever has the better bull has the better power, it very much could be that. But when it's retold that she was greedy and that she was ambitious, that could also be that change from the matriarchy to the patriarchy as well, as kind of that retelling, kind of getting lost in translation, if you will. The other thing with Maeve is that there's very much a tie to the landscape. Like all of her stories, there are places that are named for her. There are stones that are named for her, mountains that are named for her, ridges. In one of her stories, she got so mad at Ulster. She hates it so much that she tried to destroy the landscape. So like there's this trench that supposedly Maeve dug into the ground to disfigure Ulster. So it makes me wonder if Maeve is more about this connection of femininity to the land, that she's like the female embodiment of the land. The idea that it takes many men to satisfy her actually makes me think of the growth and abundance of plants, like sea pods and dandelions and green land that is like fertile with new growth. And that idea that Ireland is always pregnant with new growth. That's what kind of makes me think of the satisfying Queen Maeve, and always being of, you know, of fertileness, if you will. The other part is her intoxication, that looking upon her and losing your valor and being connected to mead and stuff like that. It also made me think of, have you ever been in nature and just been like intoxicated by it? Like, isn't this gorgeous? Like it kind of takes your breath away for a moment. Yeah. Those vast oceans, those mountain ranges or fjords, you know what I mean? So it almost kind of made me think about that kind of intoxication, that kind of that it's not just about a beautiful woman that has fair hair, but maybe it's being intoxicated with the land around you as well. So learning about her, as silly as the bull story is, and it totally, like, that is something that I'm going to remember forever. But it also gave me a really big connection to nature, because I could see how she had that intoxication of beauty, but also she could destroy it as well. So, like, she was also as powerful as a tornado with wars and all of that kind of good stuff to disfigure and destruct the land that she hated. So she's somebody I'm going to, like, keep thinking about and keep kind of, like, digging in because, you know, she's complicated. She's got her nuances and she's a myth. It's not necessarily so much about her historical background. It's more about, like, what's that in between that we're supposed to learn about her. Right. So, yeah.
Exactly. What wisdom is this imparting?
Lots of it.
Yes. But there's so much to dig into there.
Right? Exactly. Yeah.
And like you said, through which lens are we looking at it?
And can it be all of it? You know what I mean? Can it be a variety of different ways? So
very interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Dun, dun, dun. So that is glorious Queen Maeve.
Well, she certainly made me want to raise my expectations.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I think so. Raise that bar. Mm-hmm. Husband number four. Mm-hmm. Start comparing and contrasting, you know. What is our wealth? What do we need to battle over?
I feel like she's like this lady on TikTok that's always like, if your boyfriend or your husband doesn't do such and such, I think you should start a fight.
It's like, is she reincarnated from? Yeah, exactly. Maybe. Yeah, I get it.
Like,
yeah.
I think one of the last ones I saw was like, if you ask your husband if there was a fire and and both
would you save
you,
me first?
Yeah, would you save me or your mother? And he doesn't choose you, I think you should start a fight.
Exactly.
One of them's like, if you ask your husband what his most prized possession is and he doesn't say you, you should start a fight.
This is also why my husband, when I'll say, hey, does this look nice? He'll be like, it's a trap. He'll be like, yeah, I know. I mean, answer the way that I need you to answer first and then like legitimately tell me, am I looking ridiculous before I go outside? I understand. I'm completely trapping you in this situation. Do you want me to wrap it up for the month?
Oh my gosh.
I know, right? All right, well, that wraps it up for Irish Gals Month. Join us next week as we get those passports ready, because we're going to visit the wonders of the Arabian Peninsula and visit the Middle East. Thanks for listening. Want to learn about more women of history? Gals Guide opened a unique women's history lending library. Come visit and explore our collection. Learn more at galsguide.org. Thanks for listening.